Well, how many of you enjoyed the time change this morning? I see it. Very nice, very nice. How many of you would vote for a time change like that every week? Amen, amen. Yes. Well, here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to pray and ask God to lead me as I speak and open our eyes and open our hearts as we've just sang to the hearing of God's word. And then we're going to look at John chapter 10. So if you have a Bible with you after I pray, you can open it to John chapter 10 and join me there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as our great God and King. And Lord, though we have all different worries and all different stresses and we come from all different places in life, we come together this morning to glorify your name. And so we pray together, hallowed be your name. And Lord, we know that will happen when your will is accomplished here on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, we pray that we would live in your will, that we would be part of your will being accomplished. Lord, do that through us. And that's why we pray your kingdom come, because we want to live under your reign and live under your rule. Help us, Lord, as we look into your word today to understand how to be within your will and under your reign to glorify your name. Help us do that together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I jump into John chapter 10, I just remembered we have a special guest with us today, and that is Jimmy. We're glad to have Jimmy back. Jimmy, can you wave, buddy? Hey, Jimmy. Hi, good. We're glad to see Jimmy back. He's had a surgery on his thumb, and he's had some other health issues, and we're glad to have Jimmy back back with the family. So, great. Let me start with a question that will help get us into John chapter 10. Have you ever had a relationally impossible situation with authority? So where authority, your relationship with authority is just impossible. Here's what I mean. It's like when you have a boss that is not just greedy, but also needy. And so you can never, ever do enough to please this boss. Like, no matter how hard you work, no matter how many hours you spend, no matter what you give, it's never, ever enough for this boss, and it just makes the relationship impossible. Some of us here are young, and some of us are old. But whether young or old, anytime you have a parent leave, it leaves a hole. And here's your parent who's supposed to be an authority over you, who's supposed to be there for you, watching out for you, guarding you, protecting you, providing for you, and they leave. And it makes the relationship impossible because they left. How are you going to have a relationship with someone that leaves? If you've had a parent leave, you understand what it's like to have an impossible relationship with someone who's supposed to be an authority over you. A couple months ago, I did a series on marriage. And I did that series with a lot of fear and trepidation because I knew where our culture was at and the kind of climate that we have in our culture. And the reason I say this is I started in Genesis chapter 1, then we went to Ephesians chapter 5, and really we taught on how Paul was exegeting Genesis chapter 1 and showing how wives really need to submit to their husbands. Talked about how terrifying that is for a wife when her husband really isn't trustworthy, when her husband really doesn't have dying on the cross love for her. Because remember, there's two sides to that coin. Paul tells the wives, submit to your husbands. And then he tells the husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And how husbands need to have dying on the cross love for their wives. But I mean, I realize there's wives out there that have husbands who just want to use them and abuse them. There's wives out there who, their husbands, man, they can't get from point A to point B. If they say, all right, I'm going to turn the wheel in this relationship over to my husband and let him drive the relationship, they're terrified of where he's going to take that thing. And that would be like a relationally impossible situation. What do you do if you're a wife in that situation? John chapter 7, Jesus tells us that we read in John chapter 7 that Jesus is going up to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Tabernacles is in the backdrop of John chapter 7 through John chapter 10, verse 22. So you have your Bible open already to John chapter 10. If you look at verse 22, it says that a time of the Feast of Dedication. Now, John, these couple chapters of John are organized by feasts. The next one we're going to look at after the Feast of Dedication is Passover. So Tabernacles covers John chapter 7 through John chapter 10, verse 1 through 21. Tabernacles just is another word for tents. It's like the Feast of Tents, where they look back. All Jewish feasts look back. But Tabernacles looked back. Remember, I went to the back of the auditorium and had you stand up and you look back at me. And I said, Tabernacles is when they look back and remember how God provided for them in their impossible situation in the wilderness by providing water. And we looked at how Christ stood up and said, I'm the water that you're looking for. By providing light, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, by providing light for them. And Jesus stood up and said, I'm the light that you're looking for. And now, how it celebrates how he provided leadership for them in their impossible situation. Here they are out in the wilderness together as a group, and they're afraid they're going to die, and somebody's got to lead this mess, and it's Moses, the shepherd leader. Remember, he's a shepherd for 40 years before he's the leader of them. So hear that background as they're looking back at Moses' leadership and how God had provided a shepherd leader for them in Moses. And what they're looking forward to, the Messiah coming, hear that in the background of John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, when you and I hear Jesus talk about himself as a shepherd, which is where he's going with this, what do you and I think of? I decided to do a couple of Google image searches of this, and it came up with a picture like this. Sometimes we think of Jesus like cuddling a little lamb, and we think of cuddly Jesus shepherding the sheep. Or we come up with a picture like this, and you want to ask, is that what they thought of then? Like, that's what artists do now, but is that what they thought of then? What you need to know is when they thought of shepherds then, they did think of caring for sheep like this, but more of what they thought of was autocratic leadership. Remember how Jesus says, I know my sheep and they follow me? And so you'd have the shepherd out in front and you'd have all the sheep behind, and the shepherd decides where they're going to go, and the shepherd leads the sheep. When you think shepherd, you need to think leadership. So they'd also have in mind passages in the Old Testament like Ezekiel 34, where God is indicting the leaders, the religious political leaders of that day, for not caring for the people. So Ezekiel 34, verse 2 says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. What's God saying there through Ezekiel? He's talking to leaders and he's saying, you don't care about the people. You're using the people, you're abusing the people, but you're not caring for the people. You need to care about the people. And he'll go on, later on, write down Ezekiel 34 and go back and look it up. He'll go on for many verses, like 20 verses about this. And then he'll say, but it won't always be like this. Because I care about the people, I am going to send a good shepherd. And he says in 34:23, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, is it really David? David is already dead by the time Ezekiel is written. Okay, and Ezekiel is prophesying. He's talking about Jesus, the son of David, who would return to David's throne and rule his people well, the shepherd king David. And he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. This is what you want to think of. You want to think of the leadership then being untrustworthy because they didn't care about the needs of the people versus Jesus, who is trustworthy, who cares about the needs of the people. So Jesus comes to indict the current leadership and to tell them that he is the shepherd that you're looking for. In the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, when they're looking back at how God had led them in the wilderness and the impossible situations in the past, and how God would lead them in the impossible situation they were in right now. What impossible situation are you in right now? That you're having a very difficult time trusting Jesus with. Maybe a better question would be, why is trusting Jesus difficult? And here's what I would say to that. I'd say trusting Jesus is difficult because so many leaders in our lives, so many people in authority over us, have been untrustworthy. It's kind of like a politician wondering why no one trusts him. Well, it's because politicians don't have a great track record of being trustworthy, right? I mean, in order to get to really trust a politician, we're going to have to see her be trustworthy over the long haul. In order to really trust a leader, you're going to really have to get to know them and see them be trustworthy over the long haul. And this is why it's important for us to study Jesus' life in his teaching to see if he's really trustworthy or not. So let's do that together. Let's look here now at verse 7. And we see here in verse 7, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, I am the door, and all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Okay, let's pause here just a minute. When Jesus says, I am the door, you need to understand, a lot of commentators think the shepherd was the door. And so they tell this story about a guy who's talking to a Palestinian shepherd, and he had this big sheep pen then with an opening. And you get his sheep in there at night, and then he'd sleep in the doorway, in the opening. So when he says, I am the door, it's, okay, if any of your sheep are going to get out, they're going to have to go over me. If any predators are going to get in, they're going to have to go over me. The shepherd and the door are the same thing. So, and he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let me ask you, who came before Jesus that makes it hard for you to trust Jesus? Who came before Jesus? All who came before me, verse 8. Who came before Jesus in your life that gave you a terrible experience with authority or leadership? For some of us, it's pastors. We've had a terrible experience with a pastor in the past who used and abused the flock. for strange control issue reasons. For some of us, the person who came before Jesus might have been a boy that when we were in junior high or high school, we gave way too much of ourselves to. And we let them have authority, or we let them have leadership in our lives that we deeply, deeply regret. And they didn't come to give, they came to take. They came to rob and steal and destroy, and they left us for dead. Who came before Jesus that makes it hard for you to trust Jesus? For some of us, it was our dad, who was never happy with us, who we could never please, who in some ways just took away our childhood because we could never live up to their expectations. Who came before Jesus that makes it hard for you to trust Jesus? Jesus says the thieves and the robbers, the religious leaders of his day, are just takers. If you're summing up those yellow words up there, you'd say they're takers. Look what Jesus says about himself. He says, I'm the door. I'm the one who defends you. And he says, anyone who enters by me, you'll be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. He'll have life, and he'll have it abundantly. If I could sum up in just one sentence what it is about Jesus, what we need to get about Jesus from this, I'd sum it up like this. I'd say, Jesus gives me salvation, freedom, and abundant life. Jesus did not come to take. Jesus came to give. I think it would be helpful for us to hear ourselves say that, to hear ourselves say, Jesus gives me salvation, freedom, and abundant life. Because it's going to help us believe that Jesus isn't one more authority figure in our life trying to take something from us. So why don't you say it with me? All right? One, two, three. Jesus gives me salvation, freedom, and abundant life. And as helpful as that is, though, some of us have had experiences with authority where they did give us stuff. They gave us lots of stuff. They gave us stuff that we really didn't need or even want, but they gave us a lot of stuff. They gave us stuff we did want, stuff we didn't want. They gave us a lot, but they weren't there for us. Or they left us. And we want to know whether or not Jesus will leave. We want to know before we trust him if he's going to run away. Check this out. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Who left you? Because they left you, you have a hard time trusting Jesus. And when they left you, whether it's true or not, but when they left you, it made it impossible for you to believe they care about you. Their leaving communicated they care nothing for you. I'm walking on pins and needles here. I mean, I'm for some of us, it was our mom. For some of us, it was our dad. who left us. And as much as they may have loved us, it feels like they care nothing for us. For some, it's that boy that we gave way too much of ourselves to, and they did care nothing for this. They were trying to use us. Who left you? Cares nothing for you. And their influence in our lives makes it hard to trust Jesus, because we want to know whether or not he's going to leave. For some of us, it was our first husband or our first wife. They cared nothing for us. And when things got difficult, when the wolves came, they left. Who left you? Jesus says here, I want you to get this, okay? In the context of talking about how hired hands who care nothing for the sheep because they don't own the sheep, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. And you need to know that Jesus cares for you so much that he goes to the cross for you, that he promises you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You need to know that Christ cares for you, that he loves you, that he will not leave you. In fact, when the wolves were coming, instead of throwing a lamb out of the sheepfold and hoping that will satisfy the wolves, Jesus goes out himself, doesn't he? And gives his life for the sheep. If I could sum up in one sentence what we need to know about Jesus from this passage, it would be this, that Jesus cares for me. You need to hear yourself say this, because there's a lot of us, man, every fiber of our being doubts this because of all the people that have come before who've hurt us, who've left us, who care nothing for us. Jesus cares for me. Will you say that with me? Jesus cares for me. But we still, as important as it is that Jesus is generous, and as important as it is that he's not here to take, he's here to give, and that he genuinely cares for us and he will not leave us, we still want to know whether or not he's competent. Because, man, good intentions are great, but you still need competence. You want to know if Jesus can get from point A to point B. You want to know if Jesus can follow through. You want to know, before you trust someone, not just whether or not they mean well, but whether or not they can get the job done and get it done right. Here's what Jesus says here in these next couple verses. Verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Watch that phrase. You're going to see it a couple times here. Jesus, I say this to men as well as women, okay, because men shape other men. I was shaped by men in my life. You men were shaped by the men in your lives. Women, you have to live with us men, okay? Jesus is not just another man in your life who is so self-absorbed he won't get to know you and he won't listen to you, who's just trying to use you or take advantage of you. Or Jesus cares about you enough to know you. That's what he's saying. I know my own. He's got every hair on our head numbered. He knows us. He loves us. He's not just another man in your life who's going to leave, who's going to flee when it gets difficult, who doesn't really care about you but is trying to use you. He knows you. He says again, verse 16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Now, I underline that word listen because I would like, if you have a Bible and you don't mind writing in it, to underline the word listen, because it's going to be extremely important later on. We're going to see, again, and you can go back later and find all the times that you hear, like, voice or follow or hear. That word is key, as the sheep will hear their shepherd's voice and follow the shepherd, okay? But that's not the point right now. The point right now is Jesus is not just another man in your life who's racist or bigoted, okay? Because when we're talking about sheep of this fold, he's talking about the Jewish people. When he talks about other sheep who are not of this fold, he's talking about us. He's talking about Gentiles, people who are not Jewish. He's saying, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I need to go and get them. And when does he do that, by the way? He does that in the book of Acts, through his body, which is the church. As the church goes out, that are the hands and feet and voice of Jesus, and go and proclaim his gospel to the nations, and they bring them into his body, which is the church, which is his sheepfold. Okay. He goes on, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Jesus is not just another selfish guy trying to take from you. He voluntarily lays down his life for you. And finally, "I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." Jesus is not another man in your life who hates authority, that you can't trust to get from point A to point B. Jesus can't, you know, if point A is death, Jesus can get to point B, which is the resurrection. Jesus is competent. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus can start at death and walk through to the other side, which is the resurrection. You want to trust Jesus. So these four truths about Jesus, if I had to wrap these up into one, I'd say Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for me. And because he knows me, remember? I know my own. Because he loves me and he knows me. Because he's not racist, but he loves everyone. He has sheep not of this fold, remember? And so he lays down his life for them as well. And because he did it voluntarily, because he loves us, the third truth there. And finally, because he's competent, that he can lay it down because he knows the Father has given him authority to pick it up again. I want you to hear yourself say this to help you believe it. Ready? Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for me. So we've covered three truths about Jesus today. We haven't talked about anything to do yet. We've just covered three truths about Jesus. The first truth we covered about Jesus, that he gives salvation, freedom, and abundant life. That he's not a taker, but he's a giver. He gives salvation, freedom, and abundant life. The second truth about Jesus is that he cares for me. That he's not going to leave me when the wolves come. That he's not going to just abandon us when things get hard and difficult. But he's going to stay, and he's going to give his life for us voluntarily. And that is the third point, that he voluntarily lays down his life for me. So what do we need to do? You know, what does he want from us? Ready for verse 19? Verse 19 says, "There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, 'He has a demon and is insane.'" What's next? Why listen to him? What did Jesus' sheep do? They listen. You know, back here, what is characteristic of Jesus' sheep. I'm working my way back to it. What's the main defining characteristic of Jesus' sheep? They listen. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. That's listening. It's the kind of listening that you want from your young children. Not listening critically, like to give you feedback, necessarily, but listening for obedience. Listening to follow. Listening to obey is the kind of listening that Jesus wants. When he's out in front of his flock and he says, let's go this way, he wants them to follow. This is what Jesus wants. And here's the really difficult part for us. If we have trouble trusting Jesus, this is going to be really, really tough for us because of all the leaders that have come before in our lives, because all the authority or the men or the other authority figures in our lives that have come before, is going to be difficult for us to trust Jesus. But I'm asking you, with Jesus, will you listen to Jesus? Will you listen to Jesus as he calls you through his word? And if you're not sure yet, if you're here and you're saying, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I know him well enough. One message, you know, I don't know. Okay, get to know him better. All right? We're working through the Gospel of John right now, which is a study of Jesus' life and his teaching. Stick with us in this. All right? Follow along with us. Read the Bible on your own and just see if you can trust him or not. You need to come to a place where you believe this is true. And it might not be something you can get to overnight. God's going to have to do this work in your life. But will you listen? I mean, it's a choice at the same time, because here they had a choice. Why listen to him? Like, I don't want to listen to him. Will you listen to Jesus? While you're working through this and trying to decide, and again, this may take months, okay, and I'm fine with that. While we're thinking about this, I want us to recite a familiar passage of Scripture together. Because this is a passage of Scripture written about Jesus and him being the Good Shepherd. So let's read this together out loud, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your presence, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray that you bless them and keep them, that you would lead them into your fold by your strong voice and your loving Holy Spirit, that you would communicate to them that you are not a taker but a giver, that you will never leave them or forsake them, but you care about them, so you will stay, and that you are competent to get them through death all the way through to the other side of resurrection in this life and the next. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.